ESPN. I am your host, Paul Metters, live here at the 1430 790 ESPN studios across from Bullard High School on Palm Avenue. You guys know where this is at. This is where we do our show every Wednesday night from 6 to 7, shining a spotlight on all the great things that are happening at Fresno Pacific University. If you want to go back and listen to past episodes of the show, you can go to Spotify, Apple Podcasts. You can go to YouTube as well. In fact, tonight's episode, first of all, I'm extremely excited about this. I'm hyped about this episode. Can't wait to tell you guys who was on. They're sitting right here, three dudes right across from me. You could go back, watch on YouTube. This is going to be live on YouTube as well. Want to mention that this is the last episode of 2025. The next two Wednesdays we're going to be taking off. They happen to be Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve. So good time to take a little break, spend some time with the families. All right. So let me just go ahead and say who is sitting across from me. Then we'll take a break and then we'll get into some great stories from all of these guys. Well, I got members from the 1995 men's basketball team. They went 24-8 that year. They won the GSAC tournament. They won a game in the NCAA tournament as well. They only had 10 guys on the basketball team that year. I'm looking at a picture right now. We're going to be talking about this picture. All right, so I might as well introduce these guys. We got Todd Tompkins, we got John Jones, and Tim Adminson. You guys probably know those names from now. They're still involved with the community, still very active. Tim just across the street. He actually was able to almost walk here, drove here, and he's been the head coach at Bullard High School for a long time. John Jones coaching at Clovis North. And Mr. Tompkins back on the bike again. He was a BMXer back in the day. The dude was hardcore. He was ranked really high when he was a youngster. So he's coming back into that world. So we're going to hear a little bit about that as well. He's an administrator in Carruthers. So very excited to bring you this episode. There's going to be tons of stories. Man, if some of those stories that we were talking about before the show in the lobby here are going to come to light, you guys are in for one entertaining episode. All right, so we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to be hearing from these guys directly all the way up until 7 o'clock. All of this on the Sunburst Sports Show on 790 ESPN.
Now, welcome back to the Sunburst Sports Show with Paul Metters on 790 ESPN.
All right, welcome back to the show. This is the Sunburst Sports Show on 790 ESPN. We are live here in the ESPN studios with members. Well, it's three of them. So what, 30% of the members of the 1995 men's basketball team at Fresno Pacific College. Now, we got to make that distinction, right? Back then it was college. Now it's university. We got Tim Adminson, John Jones, and Todd Tompkins here in the house. All right, guys. So when I first sent out that text, that group text, that I wanted you guys on the show to talk about your days at Fresno Pacific, a little bit about what's going on now, like what was the first thing that was popping into your head when you saw that text?
I just laughed immediately. I laughed immediately. those were really good times of my life, and so it's just, it brings up good memories.
But John, you had to sit in the middle between Tim and Todd, right? There was some stipulation that Todd wasn't going to, or was it Tim? Well, you weren't going to come on the show unless somebody was in the middle.
Somebody has to protect Todd from Tim. I mean, Tim's still pissed that Todd didn't pass him like five more times. He passed a tie. It was five times. And Tim would have been the leading three-point shooter, but now a tie is, I think. Right, Tim?
And we're going to get to that stuff. I have some stats here later. We're going to be looking at some of these stats here. Tim, you put the microphone a little bit closer. I know you got your coach's voice. You literally just came from one of your practices, yeah. Right? All right. So we brought this team photo in as well with the FPC-10 right here. When you look at that photo, what pops in your mind, guys? The 10 of you right there out in front of, I don't even know. Family. Was that the admin?
Family. Team was a family.
I remember the day. Good memories. All great friends and great people and great teammates. Like Todd said, a lot of my best memories. Other than marriage and my kids and grandkids, that's top of my list.
Well, when I say family, I just remember Tim having a baby girl changing diapers.
Right.
Yeah.
Bailey.
He had a baby, and Tim was married. Brian Volnick was married. I was, I think, 24 at the time. Todd was just fresh out of high school.
Yeah, I just got out of diapers.
He was a young guy. Tim was collecting a Social Security check, and I was trying to figure out my life and get my life together, and it was just a great opportunity to play with great guys, and just warriors, flat out knew how to compete every day in practice, every game, coachable guys. Yeah.
Todd, what about for you? I mean, there you are. Front left flexing a little bit.
The left tricep is pretty. I was proud of my triceps during that era, and I wanted to showcase that. That picture, right? It's funny seeing, you know, looking at that picture, remembering some of the guys, and you immediately just start flashing back to stories and things like that, and a lot of good memories.
All right, so let's talk about those memories. So, you know, it's been 30 years, and I talked to a lot of people that, you know, played college basketball or played, you know, some pro sports as well, but in high school, especially with my Saturday show. But they talk about the road trips, the bus rides, the crazy stories, obviously a lot of things on the court that went on, and we'll talk about that as well. But what are some, like, I don't know, crazy bus rides or meals or practices that you guys remember?
Well, there's no doubt that our bus, you know, these guys, Lucas is on his trip right now, and they get to go the night before, and they get to spend the night in a hotel room. We didn't have that luxury. And we would get in the bus at 7 in the morning and meet in front of the school and the girls' basketball team. We would get on first, and then the girls would get on behind us, and I remember getting on the bus and trying to find, you know, where you store your luggage, and the best spot was on the back of the bus on the far left, because then I could just climb up there and I could get a good nap in on top of where everyone would store their luggage. But the girls would be on the bus, and Coach Sargent at that time, I don't think he saw eye to eye with the coach. And he just made sure that we were on the back, the girls were in the front, and we weren't going to even talk to the girls at that time. And but we ended up managing it and having a good time regardless.
You had your Walkmans back then, maybe?
Eight-track.
These guys would play cards in the back.
We played cards on the trip. And we had to, because we were terrified of the drive. So our driver felt like he was going 100 over the grapevine, and it was always foggy because we traveled at this time of year. And, like, you can't even see 6 feet in front of our bust, and that guy's flying. He was great, by the way.
He was.
But though, yeah, cards on the trip up and back, and unless you were tired.
Didn't we call him L Train? Wasn't he Lyle or?
It was Lyle.
Like Lyle, yeah.
Was his name.
The old L Train, yeah.
Great guy, older driver, and he flew, man.
And then we'd get those. We'd get like a per diem for meals. Like, they'd give us like $10 or $15, and then we would just save it. We just save the money
for cards.
We usually stopped at
for gambling.
Stopped at Sizzler, right?
Yep,
Sizzler.
Yeah,
down to Orange County.
All you can eat breadsticks or whatever they
That's
had there at Sizzler.
Pretty much what it was.
Yeah, a little shrimp action.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. We had it was Sizzler. We had our spots because our whole league was down south, so we were
the
all
GSAC.
We were constantly on the road.
Yeah,
and like I said, the girls would play before us, so we'd have to drop the girls off at their game, and then we would go have our pregame meal, and so we always had our spots and get ready for our game, and then girls would get finished playing, and then we would jump on the court and get our W and jump back in the bus. And
did you guys ever spend the night? I mean, you went to the big tournament,
right? We
spent the
night a few times. I remember driving down and then spending the night and driving back the next day a few times at Point Loma.
Point Loma, yeah.
Point Loma for sure. Yeah.
We didn't have the money, unfortunately. It's a different day now.
It is a different day. You're right. What were practices like back then? And I saw, again, we're going to go over some of the stat sheet to see what pops in your mind. I think, John, you missed a few games with injury that year?
Yeah, unfortunately, there was a loose ball, and I was reaching down to go grab it. My brother Tim over here, who recruited me to come play with him, he just thought it would be a good idea to take me out and dove into my left knee, took me out, and I had a sprained MCL, and so I missed the first 12. I believe it was like 12 games of the season, unfortunately.
Yeah, and we were all shocked, like not because of John, but that Tim actually dove after a ball. We're like, what's
defense?
Going on?
Yeah, what is this strange concept?
He saw a loose ball. He thought it would be great to just dive into my knee, so took me out. But unfortunately, I missed 12 games. But we went deep in the playoffs, so I felt like I got a good season in me regardless.
Practices. I mean, if you were hurt. I mean, how are you practicing with nine? Do you guys even remember what that looked like? A bunch of drills and maybe play some three-on-three on the other side of the court?
I think we had JV guys playing up and some younger guys that didn't travel that would jump in.
Yeah, because we had a JV team back then.
Yeah, like Josh Bergman and guys like that would jump in with us. We usually had 10. But guys practice hurt, too. Like, we had a lot of tough guys on this team.
I remember Coach Sarger, we did a lot of four-on-four. Yeah. Definitely it was a lot of four-on-four. Yeah. I bet, Paul, I'll be honest with you, our practices were – stinking wars. They were so darn physical. It's hard to get a shot off. I mean, I could just remember going through, trying to fight through screens, and Donnie Moore sticking his elbow in my throat, and you know, it's just we competed every single day for everything, and whether it was a loose ball or getting through a screen or you know fighting to get in the lane.
I think that's why it was so much fun. We were all like-minded. We're all great friends. We were very competitive. We were able to leave it on the court but good guys that are very competitive, and I like being around competitive guys.
So, John, you were what? You said you're 24. Tim, you were what age at that time? God. About 26. That age?
26.
No, 26.
I think I was 23, and you were 28.
Oh, I was 27 and 28 when I played there, I think. I don't remember, to be honest, but I think I was 27.
That year I was 18. I started at 17.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We were changing Todd's diapers, too.
Yeah, they literally were.
So what did you think about these two older guys, Todd, before they
in
get
all
into
honesty,
you a little bit?
I quit the first time I went out there. Like, I was like, I'm done. I can't play here. I go out there and, you know, you come in from high school and Cal High Sports top 100, and I didn't want to go anywhere else because my father had passed away. I wanted to stay by my family. So it was either, you know, Tark's coming into Fresno State. That wasn't even an option unless I walked on anyway, but... So Fresno Pacific, I narrowed it down to that. So I go out there, and I'm playing in a pickup game. And this guy, I have to guard him. And I'm like, and I hear he's a truck driver. And I'm like, a truck driver just put 30 on me? Like, well, I can't play here. And then I had to learn about, like, no, he's actually really, like, he's one of the best shooters I've ever been around, played with, whatever, seen. And then I realized, like, oh, okay, that's what he does. So I can do other things to help this team out. But I mean, I think Tony was there too. Tony Amundsen. I'm going, what is going on? This is, you know, this is like, I can't play here. What the? And then after a while, I got used to it, and I found my niche. I found where, and that was unfortunately for me, just passing the ball, and that's what I did.
So John and Tim, what were your views on this young kid, what started at 17. You guys were beating him up a little bit. You know, played at Washington Union, played at Clovis, so he should be used to competition. But
I loved him because he's a pass first point guard. And that's even like today, it's rare. But he could pass the ball, very clever, never turn it over, pass. Got you on time, you know, helped our shooting percentages. And you don't have to worry about handling the ball. And he did his job. He was a lot of fun to play with.
John, do you?
And I would just add that, you know, Todd's, his specialty was one, getting in the lane and breaking down the defense, but he just has an infectious personality. Everybody loved being around the squirrel. And at the end. sorry, Todd.
It's still there.
It's Silkbird coming at you. Todd's. His infectious personality is second to none, and that's why he's successful today.
He fit right in as a young man. We were older for sure as a team, but he fit right in because he's such a good guy.
Like Tim said, he was pass first, so when you are on the court with guys who want to shoot, and then we had Donnie Moore, like I said, he was such a stud. He was an All-American.
6'9"-ish, right? 6'10"-ish, yeah.
So, and then I took care of my business playing defense and setting good screens for Ty and Tim and did my job, But Todd his personality is infectious, and that's why he was kind of one of the glue guys of our team. And
I think we all fit together well. That's why we had so much success. We all my weaknesses were some of their strengths and vice versa. So I thought
it worked out well. Everybody settled into their roles, really. Yeah. There was never like...
No ego.
Yeah.
For sure.
And it showed on the court. What, 25-8, right? And you guys, again, with suiting up 9 or 10, you guys, right, were definitely not an easy game.
Real quickly, what you don't really understand is like for Ty, Tim, and I, and even Brian Volnick, we had played together in the Bay Area for 4 years.
I was going to tell that story in a minute.
But playing Hoop It Ups and playing together, open gyms and workouts at Chabot, and just kind of playing and developing our games together in Tim's backyard. It was kind of an opportunity that we already had four guys that had already bled together and worked together on and off the court. So when we came together and we met Todd and Dion and Donnie Moore and the rest of the crew, half of us had already played together for years. So we were already kind of a family, and we just got the other guys to bond together with us.
Well, like you said, everybody knew their role. You knew your part. Like on the court, does it just feel natural?
Like I've never played with a group of guys that their main goal is how are we going to win this game? How are we going to win? Or if we're playing pickup ball, how are we going to win every game today? Like everybody wants, that's all everybody cared about. It didn't matter who scored, who did what. We figured it out. I think that's rare. So I thought that was pretty special about the whole group.
And everybody owned up to their mistakes. Yeah. It was like, that was on me. You know, I'll fix it. And we just knew, like, you know, it was, I learned from Tim, I'll never forget this, in warm-ups. In warm-ups, I'd go out there and I was like, if I didn't hit my shots in warm-up, my jumpers, I was like, oh, it's going to be that type of day. And one time I got behind Tim, and he's our best shooter, and he missed like 4 warm-up shots in a row. And so it was like a break before the game started, and I go, hey, I am trying to get in your head, but like, what, you just missed a bunch of shots. Like, are you worried at all? He's like, that's what warm-ups are for, man. You get those out. So then my mindset was like, oh, okay. You know, don't ever. So I stopped stressing about that. When I'd miss, I'd be, oh, I'm good. Next, 2 games later, he's burying everything. And I said, hey, now you're burying everything. He goes, yeah, I'm ready. I'm locked in early. I was like, oh, okay. So it was always positive. So that changed. I'm glad I asked him that early in my career, because it completely changed my mindset. You know, instead of going into the game and going, getting, you know, shooting and going, oh, hopefully that, you know, it was like, I'm locked in now. I got them all out. So it's just a confidence thing.
Were there some games where maybe the other team didn't know you guys, how lethal you were, and be like, really, this is the team that's whatever, 10-4, 10-2, or the student section, like getting on you guys a little bit? Were there any moments you can remember? Something specific?
Me personally, was Cal State Hayward when they, I think it might have been our junior year though.
That would have been, yeah.
They drove down here, Ty and I from the Bay, so was Johnny, and they wouldn't give us, Ty and I went to a couple of their open gyms trying to get a look at all the D2s out there, and they wouldn't even give us the time of day. And we ended up coming out to Fresno Pacific, and they drove out, and I think we beat them by 40. Mm-hmm. And they had 2 kids from Edison, they ended up quitting and staying behind and not going back. With the team, we beat him so bad. But for me, Ty, it was Coach Holstein at Cal State Hayward, and we were like, they wouldn't even give us the time of day. For me, that was one of the aha moments. I knew we were pretty good over here.
I loved it because I always talked to the crowd. And so to see – they would always just doubt us right away and talk a lot. And I loved that. I loved that energy, and I thought it was funny, all the – insults and stuff that they would throw at us. And then I would always think, okay, just wait till this guy gets going, then we'll see.
Yeah, there's no doubt we did not pass the eyeball test, right? But when it took probably 5-10 minutes of the game, and we already hit 8 threes, and they're going, oh my gosh, what is going on here? It's 3-3-3, and you know, Donnie Moore dunking, and it's lights out. But when we played Westmont and Azusa, those were at those places. They practiced it out, and they talked a lot of trash, and they got into us a little bit. But we always had tough games against those guys at their place, and they always had great crowds and brought the energy. It was more like a high school game, because at that time, those gyms were, what, probably 800 kids, and 90% of it is college kids going crazy. So Yeah.
Did you guys miss Mike Penberthy? Help me out. When he's at Masters? Well, did you guys
I played against him 2 years, right?
Was yeah. Did you play against him this year? Was he at Masters then?
Yeah. He was there. All four of mine, he was there. Yeah.
I think he might have been a sophomore this year.
He was a freshman and sophomore.
We were the exact same, so that was my sophomore. Yes, we were both sophomores, yeah.
We lost at Masters for sure, and I think the year before, we played a close one at home, but I don't remember if we won or not. Mm-hmm. I know at Masters we lost by like 8 or 10. They were good. They were very good.
Did you know
everything went through Mike?
Yeah.
And they ran a really good offense. With
the ball. It was like the triangle offense, right? Yeah, that's what they ran there.
Yeah. They had 2 6'10" guys, and they ran their stuff really well. They were good. They were good.
All right, we're going to take a break in a couple minutes, but I want to tease this story before Todd takes it over. So what's the story about when Ty and Tim were about to break the three-point record and you were
– It's coming.
Right? It's coming. Yeah. This is it. This is the showstopper right here.
Yeah.
All right, so what's going through your mind about deciding who to throw the ball to? Like, what's going on there on the court? I think they had like 8 each, and they needed one more to break the
score. At first, I didn't realize it because they shot the ball a lot normally, and I didn't know there was a record on the line. And I just remember being ticked off because at that point I had like 6 points, and I'm hearing, you know, these guys, they had like 30-something. I'm hearing all this, and I'm like, I'm breaking the press, and these guys are spotting up. And I'm the only one. And I'm like, and I remember yelling at Tim. And I'm like, Tim, give me the rock. Like, come help me out. All he's, you know how you flash the middle, you break the press? No, he was, I'm open. And he was on that 3-point line. I had Ty on the left. And I just remember, and I didn't know that. And I forgot, somebody told me on the bench, like, they're trying to break the record. And then at that point, I was like, oh, okay. And I'm not breaking any records. So, I think we're playing Bethany.
Oh my God. What record are we talking about? 3-pointers made?
Yeah, 3 points made.
Yeah, I have no recollection of that.
Yeah, you guys
played Bethany that year. That was our my senior year, your junior year.
Oh, okay. I don't know. It was a blue team, but I remember I had them both on each side, and Ty was in my ear early because that was Ty. Ty was chomping, and then I think he knew Tim had him by one or something. He's all, give me the rock. I'm open. And Ty was always open. And so I just remember breaking the press and throwing it, and then they were shooting right away, and I'm like, we're up like 25. What are we doing? And then I was so dog tired every time I get to the half court because I go through like 3 guys, and then they get it and shoot it. And Tim disputes this. I'll put my hand on a Bible to this day. But the ball went out of bounds. And I remember running back, and Tim was going back, and I said, Tim, give me, you know, for lack of a better language, I said, give me the rock. Let me score, you know, to that effect. It wasn't that worded verbiage, but, and then Tim looks at me, and he gives me that. Tim would always do like a chest bump, or like he'd flex the pecs, or he'd do his eyebrows, like, just keep feeding.
That's good memory, Todd.
Yeah. He was
good memory.
I love that. And so, you know, it always made me laugh. And then I wasn't laughing, and I go, how do you spell Tim? Or how do you spell team? Like, give me the rock. And he goes, T-I-M. And then at that point, I knew that Tim was going to break the record. And I kept, no, that's the truth.
Just too much confidence.
And I kept going to the right, man. I would break it and throw it to Tim. And that was that. Sorry, Ty.
I will say this. I mean, Tim's my boy. Best shooter. Yeah, lights out. I mean, Tim's the better shooter than Ty.
I was proud of my percentage. I always thought I was pretty efficient in my shot attempts.
He was lights out. You gave him any
time. Ty can go to the basket better, though.
You could be in Tim's grill, and he had a great ability to kind of do the little shimmy shake and shake you off and then just shoot the ball right in your face.
And the release.
And as coaches, we always teach the kids to shoot with some arc, and Tim just shot line drives. It was just money every time. And I think that came from
Wind Cutter at the park.
In the Bay Area.
It was always windy in the Bay.
We play open gyms and workouts at the park, and 3-on-3s, 5-on-5s, and Tim would just shoot. I mean, it was just
if you shot it too high, the wind would take it. So you had to shoot it under.
So Tim learned how to shoot with the wind right in his face.
Chain nets. Yeah. Good stuff.
The chain nets. You could hear that.
Yeah.
That swish on those chain nets.
Right, we all grew up playing at the parks together, Johnny and I and my 2 brothers and Brian Volnick. And when we came out from the Bay Area, we kind of started calling each other. And actually, I came out first. Ty and I came on a trip. But we met John Moore to hoop it up in the national tournament. And on the plane ride home, he said, hey, you guys can still play. And we're like, what?
Yeah,
and I was out for a few years.
Yeah.
And I just had a baby, and I was working. And he told me that, you know, we could still play. So when we got there, Ty and I walked up to Fresno. I've never been to Fresno. And we kind of laughed at the school because we're used to Cal State Hayward, San Francisco State. D2's being much bigger. It was like a little hole in the wall. And we walked into the, before we went to Coach Moore's office, we saw his picture. We thought it was Sonny Bono. So Ty and I felt, we were literally crying, laughing because we drove 4 hours to get out here and we were tired. And we almost turned around and went right back without walking in. And I'm glad we didn't do that because it was the best experience. Him and I, he'll tell you the same thing that we both had in our lives is going to Fresno Pacific was great for us. And just, but walking in, the looks didn't look like that, but being there for the 3 years was great.
All right, we got to take a break and we're going to hear more from Tim and John and Todd on the Sunbird Sports Show on 790 ESPN.
And now, the Sunbird Sports Show on 790 ESPN.
All right, welcome back to the Sunbird Sports Show, 790 ESPN. We got members of the, it says 94-95 Sunbirds basketball team right here. For those listening on YouTube, we got Tim Abinson, John Jones, Todd Tompkins. That's the picture we've been talking about. 10 players strong, right? Shoot the heck out of the basketball. Todd was a great facilitator that year as well. During the break, I handed you guys stats. There's stats out there, right? Stats never die. They're out there on the website. Looking at that year, is there anything that you guys like forgot or anything that stands out to you looking at that stuff? I mean, the incredible shooting percentage from Tim. You were better the year before, you said, from the three-point
line. A lot. I think I was right at 50, right under 50. Very close. I like to see that, actually.
I don't think I've ever seen this. I mean, honestly, I don't think we ever looked at stats. I don't know. Probably Ty did, but yeah.
Dude, you didn't care.
I'm disappointed. I was 36%.
You're right.
He ran.
You're right.
Like, you don't remember that?
Yeah, you're right.
He tackled that guy because he had the stat sheet.
Trust me, Paul. We did not care about stats. We just all, the only thing we cared about was winning.
And there is one stat. I know. Todd likes to get on Tim a little bit for defense and whatnot. But I see seven block shots from Tim, and I see a big goose egg from old Toddy right here.
Whoa.
You couldn't chase anybody from behind
and
you know, smack it out of
athletic.
Bounds, Todd?
I just can't believe that 3-inch vertical that he had actually blocked a shot.
Seven. Do you remember any of those seven?
I do not. Didn't even cross my mind until I saw it right here.
I would have lost that was a game show question.
No, gosh. Tim was physical. When you tried to back Tim down, you couldn't back him down because he weighed by about 275.
I was better against bigger guys because they're not as quick. The quicker guys bothered
me. And they try to shoot over him, and then he would put his hand up, and you'd jam up into you. So Tim was tough to score on if you tried to get physical.
And he was really good. Like, if somebody did go around him, he was good at putting his arm up, you know, like outlet as he ran down the other way. He was really solid at that.
It's not the Butler.
No.
Fake running back, and he's wearing get back
every and his
every
guy
time.
Already down court.
Dude, I'd say before.
Johnny was when John came. I didn't know him. Like I met these guys and I knew them for a year, and then John shows up, and like he's just like a fun, just a great spirit. But when it came time to lock in, like this dude would lock in to the point where I don't think he saw anything outside those out of bounds lines. And I remember him just being so intense. And, like, I just wanted to bring that energy with him because I felt bad because he was, like, so into – I mean, this dude, if he didn't – I thought he gave his all, and he would come off the court so ticked at himself that he didn't give his all. And I'm like, dude, you just ran – you dove into some bleachers. You hit a wall. Like, a car ran over you in the park. Like, it was he was an intense dude.
Well, on this team, that was my job.
And he guarded the best guard. He was our very good defender, relentless. He could deny a guy all over the court. And he ran the floor really well and never got tired. Too competitive to get tired. Yeah, great. You don't win without guys like that.
My son, Nico, just the other day was saying, Dad, you couldn't beat me in a one-on-one. I just laugh. I go, Nico, you'd have no chance. I was too athletic for you. I'm bigger, stronger, faster. He's got a lot of wiggle and he can go with the ball a little bit, but I'm going, no, Nico, you don't understand the type of defense I could play. And I would put him on lockdown. And now I just prided myself, like the boys just said, on being the best, one, the best teammate, but two, just defending the best player on the other team. I think the biggest compliment I got was by Jim Sargent after we beat Concordia to win the championship. I didn't score a point in that game, but I probably played about 25 minutes. I held Eric Martin, right?
Derek Martin.
He was averaging 24, 25 points a game, and I did a great job of shutting him down. But that was my role on the team. I was willing to accept anything and compete on every possession. But defense and running the floor, like Tim said.
But you got points in transition, and you can't leave you open, and yeah. John can shoot the ball as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember when you learn the different locker room pregame techniques of everybody, because everybody locks in differently. You know, in high school, you're all kind of the same because you're just there and you're kind of worried about what are we doing after the game. In college, I remember Tim coming over to me at one point, and he goes, "Hey, I noticed you get your pregame's different than ours." And I said, yeah, because I was always like, I screwed around. Because yeah. If I got serious and thought about the game, I would overthink it. And so he comes over, and these guys would all lock in. And he goes, "Hey, you know, when you do your little thing, like your stuff, like do it over there by yourself, all right? We're trying to get ready for a game." I'll never forget that.
See, I don't remember this. Yeah. I don't.
That was Papa Tim right there.
I was a 17-year-old.
Don't put it past me, yeah.
Yeah, Tim was getting us ready for Black Angus after the game or something. We're going dancing. I was getting us ready for Soho. I was getting him a fake ID. And
well, Tim, you hit on it a little bit. You guys knew each other beforehand, playing in the Bay Area, 27, 28, before you came to Fresno Pacific. John, you were 24, you said. John, just kind of your journey to Fresno Pacific, you know? Tim and Ty both almost turned around once they saw the school, like, really, this is a real school? But for you, you have a different story, right?
Yeah, my story is a little unique, but I would not have been at Fresno Pacific College, Fresno Pacific University now, if it wasn't for Tim and Ty. I was waiting tables in West Palm Beach, Florida, yep. Running up and down the East Coast, having a good time with some friends. And Ty and Tim kept calling me and said, "John, we're going to be going to Fresno Pacific. We need you. We'll find a spot for you. We already told the coach about you. He wants to meet you. So come on out." And so I got my Volkswagen bus eventually. And I said, "Okay, I'm going to come out." So I got my bus and drove back out to Cali and came to Fresno Pacific and got out of the van. And the boys were running the mile.
Correct.
And
I remember this day.
They had been training for probably a good month and training every day. And I had pretty unique athleticism.
Dude, you had jeans and Vans on when you got out.
I thought they were flip-flops.
You remember that better than me.
Yeah. Coming from Florida
and
the beach.
I get out of the van straight out of Florida. And so I go, "Oh, geez, you guys are running the mile? Okay, no problem. I've done a couple miles in my life." And I think they end up running like 5:10 miles, 5:15, and they felt really good about themselves. And unfortunately, there was some guy that just drove in from West Palm Beach, Florida, who ran like a 4:45 mile or so. And they were like, "Oh, geez, who's this cat?" And I'm going,
"Yeah,
I'm Johnny Jones, straight from West Palm
Beach."
He was
like, "Coach, I'm sorry, I'm not in shape. I'm sorry.
After the race, he introduced himself.
And then I'm like, I'm dog tired, and this guy's like, "What's up? I'm Johnny Jones." I'm like, "Dude, you just literally drove across country in some jeans and just busted us."
So Sarge was asking about it. We need another guy, another player, a guard. Do you know anybody? And me and Ty are like, "We know John Jones." He played against Tony and Ty in high school, same league. I was a little bit older, and we always played at the same park against each other. We weren't buddies because we always played against each other for a while, but we got to know each other. Sarge was, "I need a guard," and he couldn't find a guard, but we kept calling him. He rolls in. We're conditioning in the parking lot at Fresno Pacific. He rolls up in this beach van, and it literally breaks down going into the parking lot.
Oh, it did.
Going
it sat
in
there, yeah.
He gets out, and Sarge is like, "Who's this?" I go, "This is John Jones." He's like, "You're kidding me." He gets out, and we're doing I think it was a three-mile run. And he smoked all of us he was out of sight. By the time we all run pretty good times, he just got out and, like, tossed it like pants and funky shoes and
no shirt.
We're all in tennis shoes.
I'm sure I had my skater shoes, but probably my Vans on at that time.
And we're all in tennis shoes, ready to go. He's not even. He just smoked all of us. He goes, oh, I like him. You know, so after we did our running starts, he goes, I like him. And that was it.
Didn't you get offered money for a track?
Or he did.
Didn't the track coach but after
I
that?
I loved hoops.
Yeah, they offered him a scholarship. Well,
I ran track in high school. I was an 800-meter runner, and I was on the 4x4. So I had a little bit of track background, so it wasn't uncommon for me to run a decent time. And unfortunately, you know, Tim was 28 at the time, and what did you weigh? 220?
No, I was 188.
Oh, you were 180. You were
188 at Pacific.
In peak performance. So I was just a little bit different.
I still got the nickname Truck. I don't know how, but I was 188.
I was a little bit different at that time of my life. Not the athlete I was back then.
Well, that's how you're able to shut down the leading scorer, right? Yes, hold them to whatever, 10 points, single digits.
Yeah, that was probably one of my most memorable games just because, beating Concordia and then going to the national tournament, making a difference, and it had nothing to do with scoring points or doing anything else other than just shutting down the other team's best player and doing what I was supposed to do on offense, don't turn the ball over, take good shots, make sure you make game-winning plays. And really, but on the defensive end, that was kind of just my thing to do that year. I scored a little bit more my senior year. It was just a different dynamic. But defense my junior year was what I did.
That team that year, we were playing in the GSAC championship to go to the tournament. Dion and I backed up Dion that year at point guard, and we were scouting it out as the game was unfolding. He said, okay, here's what we're going to do after the game. We're going to go to that gym. He had brought scissors because we knew that the team was going to go to that court to cut down the net. And so Dion and I ran after the game, and we just started cutting the net down. We were helping each other up, and then I'd go up there. His arms would get tired, and we cut the net down. Sergeant was so pissed at us because we were supposed to do a ceremony together.
Who'd you guys play in the tournament then? You won one and then lost the next?
We lost to Arkansas Tech.
Missouri, with the team from Missouri.
Columbia?
Columbia, Missouri. Yeah. We beat them by 26. We played really well. We shot the ball. We had it going.
Oh, yeah.
And then the Arkansas Tech game, unfortunately, we started off the game really well.
10-0.
And we were feeling it. We were rolling. And then I don't know if they switched into a matchup zone.
They went to a matchup zone and took away all of our shooting, and they made us play one-on-one from the high post, and we struggled.
And we just did not play that well.
Great, sad story of that team. They almost forfeited coming over the mountains from Arkansas. One of their vans went over a cliff, and they lost players and coaches. They almost went home, and they actually stayed and played, and they made it all the way to the Final Four, I think.
Yeah,
they were good. They had two All-Americans. Yeah. But it was a good game.
I remember the tournaments back then. I don't know if they still do this, but you had to play with a new ball. All the balls were brand new, and I remember they were so slippery.
Yeah, you couldn't choose your own bat. I see that in high school a little bit, right? The balls are made differently now.
They have a much better grip. But back then,
literally inflate them before the game.
You had these rawlings. With plastic with sweat on it. And so it just slipped through your hands. It was a terrible ball.
Yeah, that's no good for shooters.
No.
Right? You don't care. You don't care. No excuses.
I just remember.
I think Tim. I shot. I just they took the three away from us, though. We couldn't. They were all 6'6". They were good. They defended well.
But this is our team. Tim and I trained a lot together.
Tell them about the 10 miles story, we ran at
one
state.
Story, that before that season, so Tim and I think it'd be wise to.
This is when my wife and I, Johnny, moved in with us and lived with us for the summer.
Yeah, so I'm living with Tim, and we want to find out how mentally tough we are. So it's 115 degrees here in Fresno. We're in the middle of July.
We live right by Fresno State.
And so we're like, okay, let's go to Fresno State, and let's just run some laps. We'll just run. So we end up running 10 miles. We run 40 laps as hard as we can. We push each other. We're pushing. We're dead tired. And we're no breaks, no water. Back then, it was like, you get a water break? No, we did not do water breaks. So we thought, okay, all right, we're tough. We're getting tough. Let's get in the car and let's drive home. So let's turn the heat on. So we turn the heat on.
We blast the heat with the windows
up. Roll the windows. It's 150. So it's probably about 140 degrees. So we're just challenging each other, like Navy SEALs or something, and trying to find out like how mentally tough we are. We're just idiots, basically, at the end of the day.
Sounds pretty stupid now. We thought we were pretty tough, man.
And then so then we go home, and then we go, okay, let's we got 20 minutes of box jumps. And so now we're box jumping, and then the next thing you know, we're cramping. We're laying down in the bed, we're laying on the couch, and we can't even move. And then like, a couple of hours later, Ty calls us and say, we got a night at Black Angus. So we got to get in the car and go to Black Angus, go dancing after all this. It's like, we're nuts. It was crazy.
Tim, we only got about 5 minutes left of the show. You've mentioned this a few times. You've been on the Saturday show talking about your Boulder teams. But you said that this time, you mentioned at the beginning of the show, was one of the greatest times of your life, besides being, you know, getting married and birth of your kids. Why?
Grandkids, why? Kids, and my wife. Kids, but grandkids. Just this group of guys are just special. Like I said, I think we're like-minded in being competitive and doing whatever it takes to win. And that's when you have that on a team, it's you go into every game, you know, you can accomplish anything together, and that's a lot of fun. You play a lot of basketball in our lives, and you play pickup on, there's not a lot of guys like that. Mm-hmm. We just happen to have 10 guys like that. And then they're just good people. And then the university was awesome. Just my experience there was awesome. I'm glad I went to a small college, even though I laughed at it when we walked in. We knew everybody on campus. Professors, when we traveled, we'd get back, they helped us, give us extra time to do assignments. Like, everybody knew everybody. I just thought it was a great experience there.
John, for you, like, coming back, that van story is absolutely amazing. How you just drive from Florida and come out and run, you know, 3 minute miles. But your time there, like, reflecting on that, it was pretty neat, wasn't it?
There's no doubt. Fresno Pacific gave me a second chance. It gave me an opportunity to grow as a person. I became a coach. Been coaching for 29 years, and a big basis of that is my time at Fresno Pacific. Helped me grow as a person. But more than anything else, it just gave me an opportunity to be the best person I can be. And, you know, growing with these guys, Todd, Tim, and the rest of my brothers on that team, was a special moment, and I wouldn't trade it for the world.
Todd, what about for you?
I think it was exactly what I needed for a lot of what these guys said too, but I found faith. I found long-term friendship. The thing too is that when you're on a team like this, you go through so many emotions. You know, you celebrate, you remember those moments. There was hard times. There was people who lost family members during, and things like that. And so you see the emotions, but you have this core family with you, and you're with them. I mean, we were with each other for 4 years, so we've seen all kinds of stuff. And now it's like one of those things where I see these guys, and it's like we're just playing, you know, a week ago or whatever.
Time goes by, and like, I feel like I haven't seen you in a while. And exactly. It's like we don't miss a beat.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's great.
And it's awesome. But the memories. I got to share one more with you about Johnny, real quick. This guy. We would have to go. We would, you know, we had this class where we'd have to give speeches, and you'd get graded on them, right? So this guy has no idea what he's talking about, and he gets called to do the first speech. But he bought this shirt for like 25 cents at some, you know, what is
thrift
it?
Store.
Thrift store.
A thrift store. Yeah, it was a
25
foam shirt.
It was foam. And he crushes this speech, and he gets an A. And we were like,
studying for hours and hours.
Yeah, this guy crushed it. So what do we do? Every speech we gave for the rest of the year, all of us wore the foam shirt.
Everybody got it.
Great.
Where's the foam shirt now? You still got it? Did it die in the van or something?
It died. I think I have a leather vest from my Fresno Pacific days or something.
Oh,
I got something to bring out once in a while. Has to be a special moment.
Well, definitely some great stories. Oh, man, it was a pleasure watching you guys back then. It's been a pleasure catching up. You know, I saw Todd, you know, after all those years at a Clovis North, you were announcing, like, there's Todd. Talk to you and your son, Trent, when was just about to go into high school, and then watching your two sons tear it up on the basketball court, John, and then obviously with Tim, watching your coaching career and winning all those Central Section championships, and now here at Bullard. I think you guys absolutely hit it on the head at the end. Great stories, great memories, but the people the Fresno Pacific molds, and for you guys choosing, pouring now your lives into kids' education and all that, just I think it speaks volumes. Absolutely speaks volumes about you guys and Fresno Pacific University. All right, you got 30 seconds. You guys want any other sayings out there? Any other memories you want to pop up? Now you got 20.
One thing I always think of, John, I didn't know what a sunbird was. But I remember one time John yelling out, "Go birds, wah, wah." And I still yell that to this day. But that's apparently what a sunbird sounds like, just so you know. Future birds or current
future
birds.
The mythical bird.
Mm-hmm.
Todd is the sunbird.
I remember
he used to be squirrel. I guess he's the sunbird now.
Yeah,
he's the sunbird.
We played at Vanguard. Chipmunk. That used to be their mascot. Chipmunk. And I remember they said, I said, "What's a Vanguard?" And the guy goes, "What's a sunbird?" Touche, my friend.
There you go. Yeah. And of course, Todd has to have the last word among the three.
Of course.
Yeah. Thank you. Always.
All right. Thank you guys for listening. This has been an absolute blast. Fresno Pacific men's and women's, they're playing this week as well. They're at Concordia. Lucas Jones, John's son, is playing on the team as well. We got to make sure we mention that. But thank you guys for listening. Appreciate everybody out there. Have a great rest of the week. A great Christmas, everybody, and Happy New Year. And go Birds.
Go Birds.